Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Tuesday, October 19th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that was pretty pleased with the Dave Haxtell revenge tour.
Yeah, interesting results.
Thanks for making Locked On Flyers your first listen every day. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Flyers and keep up to date on all the Flyers news, our episodes. You can also email us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. We always appreciate your feedback and mailbag questions. I'm your host, Rachel Donner. You can find me on Twitter at rmiriam, and I'm here with Russ Cohen, who's on Twitter at Sportsology. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Today, we are going to talk about that Flyers victory versus the Seattle Kraken last night. A little bit more about Dave Haxtell and his return to Philadelphia, and then touch on the Phantom season so far. Locked On Flyers is free and available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. So subscribe and you'll get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right, so the Philadelphia Flyers defeated the Seattle Kraken last night 6-1. Quite a performance. I would say my favorite moment of the game was JVR's assist on the Justin Braun goal. It was really good work along the boards with that turnaround flip pass, getting it to Braun for a ridiculous 2-on-1 with Sanheim, who knew? But it did, you know, get Grubauer out of the game.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get Justin Braun in open ice, you're doing something right, because that was that was a tremendous play. I don't know how many times this year he'll have a opportunity like that. But no, you're right. It did get Grubauer out of the game. At that point, the game was pretty much over. It was interesting. It was interesting the way it went. My my favorite part of the game was the Carter Hart save on Eberle, because Eberle is a very good sniper, but he was in a little deep, and it didn't look like he could get the angle. So when he went for the backhand, Carter Hart just dove and got it with the glove. You know, it flipped in the air, and they did a good job of helping him out with that. The team did. And those couple of saves early were a big difference in the game, because if you remember, I was talking about how Haxtell likes to have those guys going 200 feet, especially early, and press, and they were doing it. And it was working for a short time. And then once the Flyers got it out of their own end, they really flipped the script on Seattle. And I think, you know, them playing their fourth game on the road maybe had something to do with it too, but it was also a real complete game for the Flyers.
It absolutely was. I think they had their forecheck going really strong. I thought, you know, amongst the top two lines, they were really dialed in for the entire game. Each of them scored two goals, which is exactly what you want to get out of your top six. And the penalty kill was absolutely perfect. I think, you know, they had really strong pressure in a much bigger box, did not give up the back door at all. I was paying close attention to that, and we're not leaving anybody open on the back door. And they actually cleared the puck out pretty frequently. So it was a pleasant surprise, but a really strong performance there.
Yeah, that was the first time I saw some real different penalty kill from last year, and it was effective. And I do think it helped demoralize Seattle a bit. Seattle had Adam Larson though on the power play, which made no sense to me. I sat next to a writer who, you know, covers the Devils, just happened to be at this game, and that writer agreed, like, yeah, Adam Larson should never see the power play. And so that was a little shocking to me. But, you know, they're learning, I guess.
Somebody else that you have talked about a lot in terms of absolutely needing to come out strong this season and, you know, score a lot more goals is Travis Konecny. And he is really off to a good start.
He is. And AV was really effusive in his praise, which last year I don't think there was as much praise for Konecny out of AV. So I think that's been good. I do think Konecny in that last preseason game started to get more confidence. And I think it's carrying on. So I think it's a big deal. You do need the top six a lot on this team, because I don't know what the bottom six will always give you other than that toughness that you saw tonight. And so they did have the right combination of things tonight.
Let's talk a little bit about that toughness. We had Nick Seeler going at it, and then Nate Thompson with 25 penalty minutes in one game in that battle versus Nathan Bastian in the end, where he was just throwing punches in a ridiculous rate.
Well, to be fair, Seeler, I don't know why he was trying to fight Oleksiak. I get he's literally fighting for a spot on the team, but he may be one of the worst guys. I tweeted that's like fighting Ivan Drago. It is. And it didn't work out great for him, but I get that, you know, he took the chance, and that's fine. On the other side, yeah, Bastian's still a developing player, is a pretty strong kid. But again, a guy like Thompson just, you know, ate him alive in that regard. And, you know, I think the crowd got fired up. I do think it's good for the teammates in the sense that they're watching each other's backs. I don't know if that did anything in the game, but honestly, Dave Haxtell instituted it. Like, he started it when Bastian sort of, like, when, I guess it was once it was 5-1, that next shift, you know, they got very chippy. So they kind of brought it on themselves, the Seattle Kraken did.
I thought so too. And for me, I've been on record again and again that I do not like fighting in the game overall, just for concussion and health reasons for the most part. But I think it's really obvious when a fight in a game is a quote unquote good fight versus a bad fight, that you're doing it for all the wrong reasons. And you are absolutely spot on that Haxtell and the Kraken kind of brought it on themselves. And I think that in terms of what it did for the Flyers, it did show that they were standing up for each other, but it also fed the crowd's energy. And the guys said that they then fed off the crowd's energy in turn. So, you know, I don't like buy into that theory completely, but I think in this case, it may have been true.
Yeah, I do think it was true. I mean, I even tweeted, like, I didn't see Haxtell starting like a goon shift on the plan for tonight, but he did, because his team was just getting beat so bad. I think he thought that was about his only chance to try and get something going, and it really did backfire on him. So, you know, that was good for the Flyers. They really, that was the first time I'd seen Seattle play tentative hockey. They'd been pretty confident in a lot of their games, and this was the first time where, you know, they were, and it wasn't because of the fights, it was before that, but it was just they were playing tentative hockey. And so that's something where, that's why, I will tell people I don't think Seattle will be a playoff team, because it's a different situation than Las Vegas. They drafted more for the long term, and so they're still going to find their way. It's going to take a while. So that, but again, you know, if you're the Flyers, you needed this one, because, you know, to be honest, you know, it's okay to get a point, don't get me wrong, but I just felt like that last game, if there wasn't a dumb penalty, they wouldn't have gotten a point. So this one, they really did win. And they needed that, I felt.
Let's talk a little bit more about Carter Hart, because, you know, you mentioned that save in the first period, which was pretty spectacular and really set the team up to be able to play confidently in front of him, I think. But I also think that he played a really good game across the board. I thought he did a much better job of covering the puck and not allowing as many rebounds.
True. Until the Soucy goal, that one was one that got away from him, you know, hit him in the upper chest. He never got a hold of it. And what, Soucy got back his own shot, I think, on that. Right. And put it in. But other than that, that's fine. I mean, everybody's allowed to make mistakes, but he was really good, even aggressive at handling the puck in the third period, you know, after that goal, when it wasn't 6-1, it was 5-1. And I felt like I saw a little bit of a change in him for that, too. So this was a much better game than last game. Last game, he had a good overtime, but he didn't have a great game. This one, he had a full great game. So that bodes really well. Now, I don't know who they're going to start next game. I assume it's still going to be him. At some point, they're going to have to play Martin Jones, though. But that's another topic for another day.
Exactly. Well, we'll see what happens with that decision on Wednesday, but I like what they did in last night's game.
Yeah, me too. I mean, overall, it's what you wanted, and you saw some really nice glimpses of guys. I think Giroux was a little more fired up than I had seen him. That's good. He got the first goal, right? So that was a big deal. When you're playing a team like Boston, you do want to feel good like this. I think that gives them their best chance against a team like Boston.
Agreed. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for your 2021 season. And don't forget that promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
Once again, thanks for making Locked On Flyers your first listen every day. We're free and available on all of your podcasting platforms. All right, Russ. So we are going to talk a little bit about Dave Hakstol. It's a bit of a, I think, complicated situation with his return. I think there were definitely feelings were had when he left, maybe a little bit later than a lot of people would have guessed or liked. And so it feels very weird to have him back in town as the head coach of another team, just because I don't think many people would have expected him to get a head coaching job again, I think, this quickly, maybe a little bit further down the line. It just didn't seem like there was a ton of evidence that maybe he had grown as much yet, or, you know, that he had kind of shook off what his reputation had become at the end of his era with the Flyers. So what do you think his legacy has been in terms of his time with the Flyers?
Well, it's interesting. I think it would have been better if Dave Hakstol came back and, like, Chris Vandevelde was like an assistant coach. Then I think fans would love it even more. but I don't think fans should boo him. They don't have to cheer him if they don't want him, but I don't think they should boo him. It was his first job, so I do think at times he was boring in press conferences and was a little guarded, and guarded with the media, guarded with fans. I do think, look, that first year made the playoffs, right? I mean, that was unexpected. And maybe that was something that set a bad precedent. You know, when you have like a sales job, it's always good to kind of work the arc up and not be like the number one guy at the beginning, because then you're never going to be, you know, be able to live that up to that. And I think he suffered a little of that. I think we also have to look at what he did in Toronto. Like, again, he didn't interview. Assistants don't interview, but he may have done absolutely everything Sheldon Keefe wanted. And if that's the case, then maybe he did learn something. He's always been a good coach for special teams. I've got some numbers here we'll chat about in a minute. But he's also, as a college coach, is always used to a rotating new roster and having to get out of the gate quick. And that's something that I think an expansion team needs. So I think he fit the criteria for that, because college coaches, even though they have a certain amount of guys that come back, there's always new players that they have to put in there, and some programs turn over, every 3 years. So that's something that I think he's got a lot of experience with.
I definitely think it was time for him to go in terms of his time with the Flyers at that time. I still agree that he hung around a little bit too long. Everything was a mess behind the scenes with the Flyers at that time with management. So, I think it's to be expected that, like, looking back on especially his last few games, I mean, you know, people still bring up that he sat Oscar Lindblom in favor of Jori Lehterä, which, terrible decision. Do not disagree. But I think at that point, he was just like flying blind and just doing whatever he could because he was in a terrible situation. Like, just from an employment perspective, like, I just can't even imagine what that pressure was like for him at that time. And it doesn't excuse some of the terrible decisions he made prior to then and prior to everything imploding with the team. But I think that, you know, it's worth just giving him a little bit of a pass because it must have been a very difficult circumstance.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think what fans always kind of tapped into was he was never rah-rah enough. He was never mad enough. He was never this. He was never that. He was even-tempered. But for the job he has now, he has to be even-tempered because he didn't know what he was getting into as far as when they were going to get players, what type of players. Maybe they asked him about a few because there's a few that are, you know, you would say are Dave Haxtell players. But beyond that, still, you know, trying to live up to the Vegas Golden Knights in a first year of expansion is nearly impossible. You wouldn't expect that. So I think you do need an even-keeled coach with that. And if nothing else, he's that. He's not too excitable. He doesn't get too low, and he doesn't get too high.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. I mean, what do you think he has learned since then? Is there anything that you've gleaned from his, you know, press conferences or anything with the Kraken so far?
Well, I mean, I think he's learned he could grow a decent beard. That's something. I think he's learned from me in that, you know, your hair doesn't have to look perfect all the time. You can wear a baseball hat. Like, that's fine. And it's fine to wear at practice. Like, he just never had a hair out of place. I'm happy. This is like casual Haxtell. We've never seen that.
And not evil Haxtell. I just call him evil Hack because of the goatee, but, you know.
Yeah, no, but this is cash. It's cash Hack, and he is much more laid back. Maybe he ate salmon for the first, like, 2 weeks out in the Pacific Northwest, and that sort of evened out his I don't know, demeanor. But he likes it there. I've been out there. It's nice. The only thing you have to deal with is the constant rain and the fact that they love slugs. They had like chocolate slugs that they sell, by the way, which is weird. But when it rains so much, you have to embrace it. But I think he's embraced the culture. I think that's a big deal. So the fact that they did get him some decent players, the fact that early on right now, it does seem like the message is getting through. Those things are good. So I think Dave Haxtell is going to be sitting on top of the world for the game against the Flyers.
I think he's done a decent job, especially, you know, there's been a lot of weird circumstances, you know, having a mini COVID outbreak.
Yeah.
Or COVID questions at the beginning of the season kind of probably threw him for a loop, but he adjusted the lineup. I think that he has remarkably done well with making adjustments in game and from game to game in the first few games so far. Just a little behind the scenes look, we are recording this section before the game against the Flyers. So to be determined for the game that we just talked about in the prior segment. But I think that, you know, he really learned from what went well and what didn't in the first game to the second game. And I think he was able to adjust in game in the third as well. So, you know, I think you're right that he is like could be the right guy for the Kraken in this circumstance.
Yeah, I just think he is. I think Ron Francis is a smart guy, and I think he's tapped into something there. And I think we also have to remember that they did get a certain amount of players that have college backgrounds. And that is important for, you know, the coach was in college. Like, I think their top scorer could be Jaden Schwartz, right? And he played at Colorado College. So if you go down the list, you know, you could check some guys and they do have some former college players. And he was in that program and, you know, in that world for a long time. So I do think it does help him coach some of those players knowing, you know, how they used to be. And then, you know, he's been around the league, so he knows how they are now. And I do think, you know, he can unlock certain things, you know, based on that.
So is there any last words you have about Hextall?
Yeah. Yeah. So numbers wise, you know, he was always, especially early on, good with the penalty kill. And right now, the Kraken are at 80%. So teams have only scored one goal in five attempts. So that's a pretty good mark for a new team. That you would think would be something they would struggle with, and maybe having Giordano is a big plus in that. And power play, they're exactly the same as the Flyers, 33%. He did struggle with the power play at times. So, but to me, the penalty kill is a key point. And so, like, if you could get through your team and have them skate the entire length of the ice on every play, which they do, and I do think that's sometimes a detriment. The thing that I would say is the last word is this team will play hard and try and tire out the competition.
I think you're right with that. I've seen them, you know, try to work, you know, some of the speed that they have into their game plan and, you know, maintain long stretches of possession in the zone in order to tire out the other team. So I think you're spot on there. And again, you know, we just wish him luck, but not against the Flyers.
Exactly.
With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket instead. Save tons of time and money by using rockauto.com. They're a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years, so we know we can trust them. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. You can get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. So we are a couple of games into the Lehigh Valley Phantoms season, and I thought we should check in on them. And there's a couple of interesting things, I think, happening in Lehigh Valley so far. First off, Cal O'Reilly was named as the captain, Connor Bunneman and Garrett Wilson with the A's. I think that's a really interesting choice on the A's, especially with Connor Bunneman, just because, you know, with his potential for call-up, to have him be in the leadership group at Lehigh Valley, I don't know if that's a ding against him or a good thing, but I don't know. I don't know what that says.
I think it's a good thing that they feel he's got character. Does that mean he won't get called up early on? Maybe not. So, you know, that's something we'd have to kind of wait and see on. But I do think it's a good thing. And Wilson's got, you know, experience. And so they've got experienced guys in those spots. And that's fine. I think that's good.
The first off, and the most important I think we need to talk about, is Morgan Frost. Because especially in that game on Sunday, I think there was a situation where he was not exactly playing at the top of his game, and Ian LaPerriere benched him, essentially, in the third period. And even there was a 6-on-3 at the end of that game. Morgan Frost did not go out there.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of, I think, controversy over that decision, because Ian LaPerriere is talking about accountability, and if he's not playing well, he wanted to send a message that no matter who you are, you're going to sit if you're not playing well when push comes to shove in these key situations. But Morgan Frost also needs these key situations in order to prove himself. So, like, what is your take on that decision? Like, do you agree with Coach?
Not necessarily. I think you could have thrown him out there at some point. If you wanted to make your point at the beginning of it, fine. But I imagine there was a moment where he probably could have gotten out there, right? I didn't see that game. But I just feel like even down there now, if he's not scoring 3 points a game, it seems like now they're going to expect that from him because he did it in the preseason. And it's like, well, they want to be able to justify that he's good enough to be at the NHL level. So now if he's, you know, not over a point a game there, then, you know, what is he? But again, you know, one player doesn't make a team. Like, it just doesn't. And you have to create chemistry with the players. It's not like he's going to have instant chemistry with, like, Forster and so on. And so I just, you know, I would have gotten him out there. I would have. I get it. If he's not having a great game, that's fine. But you're right. He does need these reps. And again, you want him to be an early call-up if possible, if that's what they need. So if he's not playing a lot or in those situations or the coach doesn't feel like he's playing great, then he's not going to be a call-up. And then who are they going to call up? Garrett Anderson? Is that really going to – Garrett Wilson, rather? Is that really going to help the team? Like, that's what you have to look at. It's like – that's where it's tough developing players in the sense that you have these – quadruple A guys. They can fill in the NHL and they're terrific in the AHL. And then you have players like Frost that play better with better players. The higher skill player you put him with, the better he'll play with. We saw that with Giroux last year. Like, I think we both even acknowledged if he didn't get hurt last year, we would not even be having any of these conversations, right?
Oh, yeah.
He would have just been with the team. He was fine. He looked good. So now I'm sure mentally that has played with him a little bit, especially with the last few pickups, right? We talked about that. And so if there is just a natural slight downturn in his play because subconsciously he's not, you know, feeling like he's getting a chance, he's never going to come out and say it, but it could show up in his play. And if it does, you know, he's still a young guy. He's got to be able to work through that.
Yeah, I see both sides of this, mm-hmm. and my inclination is to put him out there. But if Ian LaPerriere is trying to establish a policy, and this is, you know, one or two games into the season, and you just can't make an exception this early on because you have a whole team of people that you need to set expectations for, I get it. I totally get it. But, you know, I want him out there, too. So it's a tough call, honestly, and I think you can go either way on it.
Here's the question I always pose. Do you want to win Phantoms games or do you want to develop players?
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think you have to do both.
It's hard to do both, though. You know that.
Yeah, I do. I do. Again, that's why I'm not sure what the right call is there.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, that's why he's the coach and I am not.
Exactly.
The other thing I want to talk about is the continuing saga of terrible special teams in Lehigh Valley. Brutal. Absolutely brutal in both games, and it continued on from the preseason. Again, I understand we're just trying to get chemistry together, but especially again in that game where you had a six on five at the end, for Wilkes-Barre Scranton, Cam York is positioned on the wall and not
makes
the point.
No sense. Makes
no sense whatsoever. Like, I was screaming.
Yeah, he doesn't have that kind of shot.
Like, what are you doing putting Cam York on the wall?
I mean, I'm not sure that's normal, but we can get into that after the show.
So I think that this team has a lot of firepower, and I'm looking forward to what they can do. I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of fun action with this team, and but the special team so far, not it. Absolutely not.
They're still trying to find their way, and, you know, sometimes – new coach wants to sort of reinvent the wheel, and he does know these players and has to know what their positives are, but sometimes you want to try your own spin too, right? And, you know, maybe they'll find it doesn't work, but you do have to put York at the point. Like, there's just no other spot for him. With puck distribution, that's where his shot is best from, because again, it's not like a Shane Gostisbehere shot. It's accurate and it's good. It'll get on net. But I don't want that guy on the wall because, you know, that's why you see a guy like Claude Giroux, you know, playing that side part, because he's got that shot. And guys like that, that's, you know, who could really hammer the puck, that's who you want there. Like, Tyson Forster has that shot.
Yeah, hopefully they will improve in their next two games. They're playing Saturday versus the Wolfpack at 7:15, and then Sunday versus Wilkes-Barre Scranton again at 3:15.
I'll just add this. Don't look for Vitaly Kratzoff there. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to my Twitter feed. It exploded on Sunday. You helped it along, too.
Oh, the Rangers. All right. Wrapping up with our Flyers fun thing. It's more Dave Hakstol, of course. And
has to be.
I don't know if anybody else out there knows this, but he had a brief pro playing career following his time in college in the IHL. God, RIP to the IHL. I love that league. So he played for the Indianapolis Ice and the Minnesota Moose. And somebody put together very kindly a compilation of all of Dave Hakstol's fights. And it is pretty special. He has one strategy and one strategy only, and that is if you can get in the first punch, great. If you can't, you turtle and you hope you make it out alive.
Yeah, he was doing his best to tie up the opponent and absorb a few shots to the head, but nothing too great, so he kept moving his head. He knew he was only getting one shot. Like, that was it. And the upper body strength on Dave didn't seem great. He is a coach that stays in shape, though. The guy's in good shape. But as far as a fighter, no, that's not Dave Hakstol's game.
Well, thanks for listening to today's show. We'll be back again tomorrow, talk a little Flyers versus Bruins preview, and have our mailbag. So send us in your questions via Twitter at LockedOnFlyers, or you can email us at LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's rmiriam.
And I'm Russ, and I'm at Sportsology, SportsOlogy.
And you made us your first listen today. Now make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Scott Cullen leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available on all platforms.